Hello, and welcome to Data for All, a quest for digital autonomy, a podcast in which we bring you closer to the topic of municipal data sovereignty. This season of the podcast revolves around sustainable data solutions for citizens and companies. Looking at situations across Europe, we present facts, approaches, and reflections on how we can better understand and use data for the public good.
Data for All. A quest for digital autonomy. A podcast from the Heinrich Böll Foundation, Schleswig-Holstein.
So, hi Arno, I am very happy to welcome you here in the Data for All podcast. First of all, welcome and bonjour to France, to the beautiful city of Brest.
Thank you, Max. Bonjour from France, from Brest city. I know you are very far from Europe, so I hope everything is okay around you.
Yes, I'm currently in Malaysia, and I must admit, my French is not good. It's not existent, so I'm pretty happy that we can speak in English. I know you already, but for our listeners, can you introduce yourself a bit? Who are you, and what are you currently doing in Brest?
Of course. My name is Arnaud Willem, which is sounding like coming from the east part of France, very close to Germany, which is right, because I was born in the city that many German people know. The name of the city is Verdun. So anyway, my life is now from the other part of France, completely near in front of the Atlantic Ocean, into this very nice region where we meet a lot of people from Germany, especially in summer, which is the Brittany region. And I am currently working for the city of Brest. Brest city is, is an harbor. It's a, as we can say, a military place. Pretty much the same idea than Kiel city. We used to build warships. We have a very big submarine bases built by a German army during the Second World War. And this city is, let's say, an average size city in France, but with a lot of very special skills or jobs, like, you know, military stuff, airplane regulation, and most of all, we do operate the submarine nuclear force for the nation, for France. So I work for this local authority. And my job is basically to give advices to the top management, to the mayor and the vice mayors, and especially in the field of the digital stuff. How do we behave? How? What are our main subject and goals in this world of digitalization? And how can a city like Brest can make a difference for the territory and for the citizens about this digitalization? This is what I do every day.
Very good. And let's dive into it. We're going to talk about a topic today I think everybody has heard of, but it's somehow hard to grab. It's called data policy. I think everybody out there has somehow agreed to data policies of applications, platforms, and so on. But what a data policy really is, and what the use of it is mostly somehow unclear. Just recently, I downloaded an application, I think 2 or 3 days ago, and had to agree on the data policies. And because I knew that we are going to talk about the topic today, I checked the data policy and found out that this data policy of this application is actually longer than the book I'm currently reading. So have you ever read a complete data policy somehow?
Data policy is a topic which is very complicated to understand and to explain because it's new. It's basically new. Of course, I know that we have data all around since a long time. But what is different from, let's say, 20 years ago until now, and that will be very different in the next 20 years, is that we can witness some new players, very powerful players, for example, in the field of citizen identity. Historically, in the past, the identity of a citizen in Brest City, as in the same in German country, for example, or all over Europe, when a baby is born, the first thing to do for the parents, the lucky parents, is to go to the city hall and to say, okay, here is a birth certificate and I need to register this new baby citizen. And what we can witness together is now that we can get some new identity provided by, for example, Google or Apple. The question is, our institution, our local institution within a republic, what will be their place in this digital world? This is the first layer of the question. The second layer of the question is that when you deal with this citizen who is now a young boy in the local school, in the primary school, you will provide him a lot of services. So you will get a lot of personal data. For example, you, Max, when you are a young boy, you go to the primary school. What is your address? What is your need for the lunch? Do you have any health issue that we need to take care of? So we have a special relationship with citizens and we deal with a lot of personal data. So we are a lifelong partner of individuals and we need to get many personal data in order to provide them the best and accurate services in order for the citizens to live their life. We cannot behave as a local power without thinking about what type of data do we need, what are we going to do with this data. The citizens, do they trust us to do that? Or can we witness that they trust more and more private actors coming from abroad, let's say from China, from America, but they have different regulation, different laws, different way to understand how are the relationships between citizens and state power or local power. So we need to decide by ourselves. And because we are in democracy, as well as the other European country, and this is why we are together within this Data for All project, we have the same question. How can we rebuild the job of local authorities in this digital world? So we need to understand what is in stake, how we have to work in order to provide the best services.
So as far as I understand it from your point, a data policy somehow is a layer of trust to ensure the trust of the people, of the people's data, right?
Right, because we can see that the trust is going down and down year after year about the trust that the citizen is able to give to his local authority, which is a shame. We have a lot of political issues in France and also in other European countries. You know, as always, questions are difficult, complex, and it's easy to give simple answers to the citizen. And we have to be very keen, very clear about what we want to do about data in order to be the most efficient possible. And I can summarize this philosophy in one sentence. The future of the local public sector is to be able, at the same time, to provide the exact and right service for one guy while always working for all the people. And this question, this issue is very delicate, very difficult to address, and the way to find the light at the end of the tunnel, you know, is to be very clear about what you do about the data and how you can use these data in order to reach this this goal. I don't know if it is clear or not, but it is the way I want to sum up.
I mean, you've already mentioned the public sector, which I find very interesting, because when most people think of data policies, I think they think about applications, websites, and so on. But of course, you also need a data policy for the public sector. So what is the exact benefit for the users in the end to exchange data with the public sector?
Well, I think the public sector is basically the guardian, the keeper of the common interest. The public sector is built to serve the common good. So this is why I think it's so important that the public sector will become key player in the data economy. Because if you let the data economy be built by only private players, like, as we said before, American players or Chinese players or Russian players, I don't know, then you will be sure that the common good will be forgotten. So I think, and this is the core of our philosophy, it runs anyway, we want to rebuild a strong and relevant public sector. And this is why we need to think and write a data policy. And this data policy must be for the service of the common good, which is, I think, one of the faces of the democracy. Because if you let the private strength only dealing with the situation, you don't know what you will get at the end.
Would you say that that might be the difference between data policies of public sector and private sector? The private sector has more the profit in foreground, and the public sector is more, like you said, like the common benefit for the people?
I would not say that everything is white or black, because we have a lot, anyway, in France, we have a lot, and I think all around Europe, we have a lot of private companies that are more and more conscious of the need to follow, of course, profit goals and so, but also to think about common good, for example, for the climate, for the, you know, the green stuff and so on. So for, and also for the happiness of the employees. So I would say what is quite new is that the borders between public sector and private sector are not so clearly different. I get, for example, about the climate stuff, of course, both public sector and private sector are in the same boat, and they need to work together towards common goals, which are, of course, keep in control the climate and to make a legacy for our children with a livable planet, you know. So we have special characteristics, but we have also common goals, I guess, such as climate stake or some other topics.
We'll get back to the interview shortly, but first a quick interjection with this episode's info box. As data stewards, municipalities play a pivotal role in managing and safeguarding local data to serve their communities effectively. By ensuring the accuracy, quality, and ethical use of public data, municipalities foster transparency and trust among citizens. Their responsibilities include implementing robust data governance frameworks, ensuring compliance with legal and privacy standards, and promoting data literacy within their organizations. In this context, the EU's Data Governance Act, or DGA, of 2022 plays an important role by providing a regulatory framework for secure and transparent data sharing across sectors. The DGA empowers municipalities to act as trusted intermediaries, facilitating public-private data collaborations while safeguarding citizens' rights and ensuring accountability. By standardizing data practices and enabling interoperability, municipalities unlock opportunities for co-developing solutions in areas such as urban planning, transportation, tourism, and public health. As stewards, municipalities must balance the need for innovation with a duty to comply with the DGA, protecting citizens' privacy while at the same time demonstrating the value of data as a strategic asset in local governance. And now, back to Arno and Max.
So, we already talked a lot about trust. How do you establish a layer of trust for the users? How does it work? Because you can't start from, okay, I trust this completely. So, you have to kind of establish the trust, right?
Yeah, and the trust is not a wish that comes true. It's a building. And of course, we have a common layer of rules. For example, the GDPR within Europe, which is also a common rule within nations, which is a very interesting and very powerful law that we share. Okay, GDPR is a big book, is a big text. And as you say about your data policy research, it may be bigger than your novel that you were reading before. And it is the same for the citizen. How can we explain with the citizen and make a good contract with them? So in Brest City, we said, okay, we need to go further than the GDPR. We need to meet the people's, the citizens' need and question. And so we have made something unusual in France, but quite common, for example, in Canada. And we looked over what the Montreal city has already done in this field. We have made something called a consensus conference, which is not one-hour conference and, up and down talking about what is good for you, citizen. The other way around, we have invited a handful of citizens, let's say 20 people, randomly chosen, but volunteer. And we said, okay, we are going to learn to you what are the questions, the issues about trust, about personal data, about data policy. So for that, we have done that. It was quite a huge work for these citizens. We took between 6 and 10 days of their life, in 6 months long. And we had the help of two professionals. One professional was a university teacher, specialist in this subject. And the other professional specialist was somebody sent by the French state. There is a special agency in inside the French state. It's a kind of, insurance for clear debate agency. And they are specialists of the method, not specialists of the subject. So we had a specialist for the subject and a specialist for the method. And they were, both of these two people, they were the leaders of the process. And they were watching each other in order to give to the citizen a clear view of the issues and a clear view of the many solutions. And so they worked together. And at the end, they have produced 11 principles of what they wanted, what were their needs and preferences about how a local authority could behave in order to get trust from citizens in this digitalization. And we have gathered these 11 principles in a small document named Ethical Charter of Data. And this document is a kind of contract that private partners, private companies of the area can sign in order to say, I agree with these principles. I agree with these goals, with these rules, with what the citizens want. And we will be able to work together on such subject, on another subject, in this way of thinking, in this way of behaving.
So it's also a little bit what you mentioned, which I found very interesting, that you gather people from the society to work on that. Because normally I feel like it's top down.
Yeah.
Like it's coming from the big companies, and what you're doing is bottom up. So just right the other way. But I find that very interesting.
It is bottom up and it is written with the everyday language. It is not the specialist languages. We don't want that. We want that. If we don't understand, we want to meet somebody who is able to explain to us. These principles are quite simple, but they are strong because they are the way the citizens want to talk about this subject. So it's a very powerful document. Yeah.
I think we will come back to this when we talk about the tourism. Just one question before that, because you mentioned the GDPR. Can you maybe just briefly explain what the GDPR is?
Yeah, it's an European law which put the citizen in the center of the power. The main idea of the GDPR is to protect the citizen about any misuses of his personal data. One thing is very important to understand the thinking behind this European law. In America, a personal data is like a good that you can sell and buy. For example, I can buy a new name. In Europe, personal data is a part of yourself. For example, I can't buy your right arm because it's a part of yourself, of your body, of you, Max, and it's not a good. I cannot buy it. In the US, you may buy it. If you put a lot of money, you may buy it. It will be legal. It is not legal in France. It is the same for personal data. So it's a law that is very powerful and must be respected in every country within Europe.
Thank you for that. I think one topic to end the talk, because it's already long, although it feels like 5 minutes, to be honest, is a practical example. Let's move on to the current place you're working in Brest.
Yeah.
And actually, I was in Brest when I was 14 years old.
Really?
And I love the city and the surrounding right to the Atlantic that you also talked about at the beginning. But that was 11 years ago. And I think a lot has happened in Brest in terms of tourism and also to the topic we're going to talk about. So what role does data policy play in the tourism industry in Brest? And how is data policy used there?
Yeah, the development of tourism business is very important for the wealth of the city, the territory, and all the companies, big and small, who are trying to develop themselves. Brest City is not very famous within France in the field of a place to go and to get holidays. And we want to develop this part of our businesses. And we think that the public sector alone has the capacity to organize this kind of marketplace, an economy, a data economy, in order to, what we want to do is to develop a proof of concept that the economy of data, of personal data from tourists, could be a way to understand better their needs, their preference. It could be a way to help the tourist to exploit all the good things to do, to see, to live in this territory in order to get simply a good experience. You are a German family, you go with your two children in camping, as we can witness a lot of people doing that. It is nice. And maybe, okay, there is a rainy day. What can we do with our children? So there is so much to do, so much to discover. And many times it's unknown, it's difficult to locate, it's difficult to find. You don't know if it would be expensive, if somebody is able to speak German, and so on. So what we want to try is to organize a kind of a marketplace of personal data with the consent of the people, the customers. And we think only the public sector is in capacity able to give enough trust to these customers to say, okay, give us some of your personal data, for example, your taste, what you want to do, what you don't want to do, and we can give you the guarantee that we will respect your will and we will send your coordinate, email, phone number, whatever, only to those that you will agree. And this is the first, let's say, argument. The second argument of why we try to build up both private and public tourism policy is that we are, in the public sector, already a key player. Because many, many equipment, like, harbor, car parks, historical boats, and so, are public stuff, in fact. And so we have already a big offer that we can promote for this tourist. And finally, I guess we want that the public sector, which, you know, is very powerful in France, all over France, we want to appear as a competent player in the personal data economy. And we chose this area of tourism because we think a good opportunity, because we come from very low level. And we think that in the next years, more and more people will be interested for a fresh, mild temperature, a green landscape, place to go in holidays. And we think we have a good opportunity. And we want to use that economy of data, shared in a trust way with the customers and private companies, big companies like banks, small companies like restaurant, hotel, and so, or a camping place. We want to share the personal data with the personal consent of the customer in order to offer them the best experience possible in the place.
I think that's a very good example on how to use data policy in a good way and also a secure way for the users. And also, I think, which is the most important one, very transparent, so that users know what they get when they share their data. And I think that was a perfect ending to see how data policy actually works in real life and how it, yeah, maybe should work in future, and also how the interaction between public and private sector and users can be. And I'm really looking forward to see more about this project and to see this also developing in other cities maybe. So Arnaud, thank you very much for your time, and thank you very much for all we have learned today.
Thank you very much, Max. Bye-bye.
And that was all for this episode. If you'd like to hear more, subscribe to Data for All, A Quest for Digital Autonomy, in the podcast app of your choice, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or SoundCloud. And for any questions or suggestions, you can write to us at dataforall@boell-sh.de. The link is in the show notes.
Data for All. A Quest for Digital Autonomy. A podcast from the Heinrich Böll Foundation, Schleswig-Holstein.